And these words which I command thee this day, in chapter 6, verse 6, shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. So I don't guess it was a bad thing for my father to have those signs nailed to the trees in the front of the house. It was tough on the flesh, though. I didn't even want people to know where I lived. I worked hard to avoid it. I think some days I took a different route home just so I'd throw them off the trail. Verse 10, it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Houses full of all good things which you didn't feel. You didn't fill them. Those giants filled them. The Canaanites filled them. And wells digged which thou diggest not. Vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be... You know, when you get the Holy Ghost, you start out rich. Yes. Just a matter of how you spend it.
That's right.
That determines how rich you're going to be. Or poor. Don't waste it. That's what makes spiritual guides who are not hearing from God thieves and robbers. You're paying for something and getting nothing in return.
Yeah.
Using those riches that God gives you, come and buy, he said, without money and without price. You have something in your heart that's like money in the kingdom of God. Don't waste it. That's why God's people would be better off going nowhere than going to Christian ministers. They'd be better off staying home, saving up their money, investing in Jesus, hoping in him, than going to pay somebody who hadn't heard from him. Your riches, be jealous over them.
Amen.
Then beware, when he's given you all of this, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him at Massah. Who else said that? Jesus must have read Moses. Because when Satan was tempting him to change the stone into bread, there was a young Christian rock and roll group. I don't like those spirits they have. But I heard this line in one of their songs one time about Jesus and his temptation. They said Satan told Jesus, take this rock and make it a roll. Well, that's basically what he was saying. Take this rock and make it roll. When Satan told him to do that, this is what Jesus said. Well, no, when Satan... this is what Jesus said when Satan said, jump off the top of the temple, didn't he? To prove who he was. Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus knew who he was. Satan, one of Satan's chief tricks, it all worked so many times with us human beings. And he used it on Jesus, but it didn't work. Because Jesus had read Moses. And he was full of the Holy Ghost. Is, if you are the Son of God, then do this. That's a great trick. And it's working today with God's people everywhere. If you really love Jesus, then come join us in this baptismal service. Show it. Prove it. You know, it's not just a matter of the heart, they say. You've got to demonstrate it. It's an outward sign of an inward faith. Well, I say, I already know I love Jesus. And I don't have to do that stuff. There's one baptism. I read Paul. And Jesus did it. Amen.
Even if you tell them, I'm happy to have the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, you're looking for a sign.
And they'll say it's an outward sign of inward experience. That's what the Lord showed me, Jim, about works and ceremonies. Is that I was being criticized by the guys at the seminary for teaching you had to live right. And that night when the Holy Ghost fell on me and I preached the whole book of Galatians to Barbara and me about 1976 or so, the Lord showed me, and I couldn't even explain it after the Lord took over my mouth and He said this. I didn't understand it. It came months later, the understanding. But the ones who are doing the communion services and the ones who are doing the baptismal services and the ones dressing in their flowery long robes and the you know, shirts with the collars turned backwards and the incense and the holy water and all, they're the ones who are trying to be saved by works. Not me, for saying you just had to live right. I didn't understand what I said when I finished. I remember those words when I said to Barbara that night, but I didn't understand it, and the understanding came. I even preached it on the radio, and Earl and I were listening to the radio program, and Earl was sitting there shaking his head. I was sitting right beside him up in that back bedroom in his apartment upstairs. He was saying, "Man, that's good." And I said, "Explain it to me. What am I talking about?" You know, he didn't know. He just felt good. But the understanding came later. And the understanding is exactly what you said. Those that are practicing those ceremonial works are the ones looking for a sign. Not me expecting God's Spirit to speak through somebody when it comes in. Amen. We're trying to be saved by works. All right. Amen. Verse 17. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and His testimonies and His statutes which He hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, for your good, not God's. And that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when your son ask thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Let me translate that. Thou shalt say, when your children ask you about this, thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Satan's bondmen in sin, but the Lord brought us out of sin with a mighty hand. Amen. Amen. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And I've always wanted to go back and just see how they were doing. You gotta love everybody. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
Don't you ever fall for that one. Amen. You show me in the Bible where God ever said you gotta love everybody. That's one of Satan's homemade scriptures, not God's. And He brought us out from thence that He might bring us in. Amen. He brought us out to bring us in. Oh, glory to God. He brought us out of Christianity to bring us into Him. To give us the land which He sware unto our fathers. Glory to God. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. As you see it. This is it. Amen. Moses was satisfied that he had what it took. He was satisfied that he was part of a mighty nation. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He has commanded us. Praise God.
Well, John, I was thinking about that scripture said, when it when they asked you about means testimony, then thou shalt say unto them, we were the servants of Satan's bondage in Christianity.
Yes.
And brought us out by a mighty hand.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
That's
whew.
By showing signs and wonders and great things.
Showing us great and mighty things. Showing us wisdom. Chapter 7. I don't care if it takes 6 months.
You only miss a word.
I told Ben and Tom Sue as well, we were at the table. I said, we got about through 4 chapters last night.
A little over 3. Yeah.
And we were like David bringing the ark out of trying to bring it to Jerusalem.
Take a few steps and just stop and dance a little while. Make sacrifice. Amen. Well, glory. Praise God. I wonder how many times when Moses was telling Israel these things, everybody just stopped and danced a little while. Yeah, they probably did. Joshua did anyway. Had to. Yeah, him and Caleb. They must have danced some. And Moses didn't mind a bit. He wished all God's people would dance some. Amen. Dance and prophesy. When the Lord our God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and thou hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, 7 nations greater and mightier than you are. Moses knew they were greater and mightier. That wasn't even the issue. The issue is, which side God's on.
That's right.
That's the only thing that matters. So, Sammy, who's the father of all those ites?
Canaan.
And Canaan's father?
Canaan.
And Ham's father?
Noah.
That's right. Darren, who did Noah curse? Noah's the one who built the ark.
Cursed Ham.
He cursed Ham. Why did he curse Ham instead of Canaan?
Because he looked upon Noah's nakedness.
Because Canaan had looked on Noah's nakedness?
Because Ham
had looked on
Noah's
nakedness, so he cursed Ham.
Actually, the curse fell on Canaan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we get to the plot thickens now. So, actually, Noah cursed Canaan. Don't be shy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the curse?
That he'd be the servant of servants.
That Noah would be the servant.
Canaan would be a servant of servants.
You know, I hate pronouns. Canaan would be a servant of servants. And these are Canaan's descendants that are going to be servants of servants. We'll see how that's fulfilled in the book of Joshua when Israel goes in.
Have you heard about the Girgashites before?
Yeah. It's in Genesis 10. Chapter 7, verse 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them.
Amen.
You know why? Because they were not going to repent. How about that? Show no mercy. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of Hosea, where God told Hosea to go marry a harlot. And one of the children was called Lo Ruhamah. That's a Hebrew, 2 Hebrew words that means no mercy. Because God would have no more mercy on that people. He was going to destroy them. His people. There is a place you can reach with God where there is no mercy. And the Canaanites had reached it. Do you remember those rules on immorality in Leviticus 18, 19? Having intercourse with beasts in the field. Burning their children alive to demons. All kinds of incest, daughters, aunts, cousins, all of that. God said, those nations in this land are doing all these things. And the land is about to vomit them out. Don't you start doing them or it'll vomit you out. Because this is my land.
He didn't even want them to take the gold and silver from them people
as far as Rabboni, didn't he? He didn't want them to have nothing of that.
They brought it to the temple, the tabernacle.
Oh, okay.
No, he wanted to destroy the whole thing.
Yeah.
Whole thing, except what would pass through the fire was his. That's spiritually what God wants us to do with the spirits of this world when he turns our life around. Destroy them as far as influence on your heart. Show no mercy to an unclean spirit. I don't feel that it's a righteous thing to show any mercy at all to the spirit of Christianity, because it would kill every one of God's children if it could get his hands on them. And God is a great God of mercy, but he's nobody's fool. You can't get one by him. And he knew these people were shot. They had given themselves over to every form of filthiness. And he wanted no such influence on his people in his land. Get rid of it. Get rid of them. Now, if the Canaanites knew that the people of Jehovah were coming, they could all packed up and left and said, well, you know, it is his land. I think we'll get out of here. But sin never voluntarily leaves anywhere unless it's in hope of doing a greater evil somewhere else. Sin has to be driven out. Unclean spirits have to be driven out. They have to be slaughtered. They have to be shown no mercy. You have to burn up their idols. You have to crumble them up. Chop them down. Set them on fire. And don't stand around and say, well, yeah, you know, I really didn't want to do that, but, you know. You really want to do it. Amen. Just get rid of it. That's all God's after. Just get rid of the influence. Just get rid of it. Praise God. One of David's mightiest men, one of the most righteous men in the nation, was a Canaanite that had turned his heart to God, and God took him in. Uriah the Hittite. Legally, Solomon was his son. David had to raise up seed to him after he murdered him. So God will take them in if they repent, but he knew what they were. He didn't want them around. There are some people that God, if you follow the Spirit of God, you just don't want to be around them. They don't have any heart for God, don't have any heart for anything else but their own lust. You'd be better off without them. Get rid of them. Get them out of your land. Get them out of your life. Just don't have anything to do with them. Be happy.
Amen.
Praise God. Yeah, he did. Show no mercy, wipe them out of the land.
But
he knew they wouldn't do it. So he prophesied they'd be servant of servants.
You know something else too, when they built all those houses and all those...
Who built all the houses?
The Canaanites.
Canaanites.
All their houses and all their farms and pruned all their olive trees and everything. They was really doing it for Israel to come in.
That's right.
So they was...
They were Israel's servants before Israel got there.
Yeah, they had everything ready for them to get there where they didn't have to do any work or anything and take over.
I never thought about that. But even if Israel had wiped every one of them out, they had already been their servants. But that wouldn't have really fulfilled the prophecy, because the prophecy was not just that they'd be servants, but they'd be servants of servants. That's what has to be fulfilled in Joshua. Well, I never thought about that, Jimmy. They were really being slaves before Israel ever showed up. That's good. Verse 3, neither shalt thou make marriages with them, unless they're real pretty.
I don't think so.
What?
Unless they got pressure.
No exceptions. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, neither nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, because they might turn thy son from... They will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. How many times have you seen that happen?
I thought of Solomon when I read this verse.
It's a regular thing now, and it was then. Because it's a great temptation of the flesh to judge things by what you see and what you hear. And unclean spirits, the worst of unclean spirits, know how to behave. to make you think they're not so bad. The worst ones. The cheapskates, they just what they are. And actually, God can touch their hearts faster than somebody pretending to be something they're not. But I've seen it, and it's been a sad thing to watch. In the cases that you know of and I know of. There was this one particular lady years ago who came to my father and said that God had spoken to her and she was supposed to marry this particular sinner who kept pursuing her. He said, God didn't tell you that. Brother Clark, I know I was in prayer and what God said, what God had done is just turn her over to her own lust. Oh, God spoke to me and he said, no. Finally, my father told her, he said, well, look, do God and me a favor and just go ahead and quit. Instead of keep coming to the meetings and making us both watch you die by degrees. Instead of putting us through that, just quit now. Because that's what will happen. I had a relative who was filled with the Holy Ghost while she was in college, came home, saw her full of the Holy Ghost. My grandmother said, that's the same kind of Holy Ghost I got in the beginning. It was real. It was good. But the pressure to marry got to her. She started dating guys, Sister Willie, that I was ashamed of. Because the pressure to marry got so heavy on her. Finally, she came home and announced she was engaged to this Baptist man somewhere. He didn't show up, but she came and reported it. But she was going to hold the line and just make him promise that never go anywhere but Church of God meetings. She was going to be Church of God. She wasn't going to be that. She knew that. She was afraid to go that far. She didn't want the truth. There weren't enough men coming to the meetings. Basically, is what it amounted to. She told my father, you're just too narrow-minded. But what it was, it wasn't any available men there. So she went that way and insisted on the Church of God, where some people had the Holy Ghost and Church of God usually had more liberty, more joy, power, than other Pentecostal denominations in this part of the world. So they went there for a while until her husband, who was a money man, really interested in making a lot of money, and they have right much, fell out with the preacher there over money. Don't know what it was. It was just over money. And demanded they leave. Well, she still wouldn't go that way. So she went to Assemblies of God, which, as far as life in the Spirit goes, is a big step down among holiness people. Big step down from Church of God. The Church of God was usually the mill village people. Assembly of God were a little bit more upper crust, but they were half worldly among Church of God people when I was growing up. So they went there. I was driving through their town one time on the way back from the coast, and I cut on the radio, and I heard this man talking. And he was talking so slowly, making his point after you fell fast asleep. But he had it, and I thought, good grief, those poor people having to listen. Come find out, when I met him at her house, that was her Assembly of God minister. That was the one. He didn't talk like that when he was sitting around a table. He was a normal guy, but in the pulpit. It wasn't long before her husband fell out with that guy over money. They still couldn't quite surrender to do what she knew once was filthy and evil in God's sight, go to Baptist. So they found this denomination down in eastern North Carolina called the Pentecostal Baptists. I had never heard of it. But when you're desperate, when you're scratching to keep from your heart turning away completely from God, you grasp at anything. And she grasped that little bitty twig of Pentecostal Baptists. It was hanging on the cliff with it. Until she got there and found out there was a queer playing the organ. The assistant minister was having an affair with the pastor's wife, and the twig started giving way, and now that was even too dirty for the Baptist husband she had. So now there's some of the finest country club people, some of the pillars in the big Baptist place, in their hometown of Dunn, North Carolina. They will turn your heart from me.
Amen.
And if the Lord wanted to bless his child, she's his possession. If he wanted to bless her, where she is right now, this morning, she would quench it. She would not allow him to do it. Because it's unacceptable for Jesus to bless his children there. God is not a liar. They will turn your heart from me. He didn't say it'd take 10 minutes. He just said it would happen. Praise God. God, give us strength not to try to hold on, not to try to climb over the cliff and think we can hold on to something. It won't happen. When you marry an unbeliever, you're just volunteering to hang over the cliff on one branch, and it won't hold. It won't, that's what God said. They will turn your heart from me. Verse 5, but thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars. And those altars were pretty neat. Some of them were pretty intricate. Some experts had done it. Break down their images. Have you ever been impressed with somebody who can take a block of wood and a carving knife and make a little figure out of that? Think about something huge. 10, 15 feet tall, made out of a tree trunk, carved in a great image, covered with silver and gold and rubies for eyes and all this great craftsmanship. Tear it down. Chop it up. Burn it. Chop it up, take it home, and use it in your fireplace. That's all it's for. That's why God created it, for the service of man, not for man to serve it. I would love, that's one of my daydreams, Wendell, wherever he went. I would love for God to work the situation around to give me permission to take a chainsaw and saw up a communion table before God's people.
Amen.
Wendell's got the chainsaw ready. We're just waiting for the opportunity where it would be edifying instead of hurt them or put a stumbling block in front of them. I could do it. I have no respect for that carved wood. It means nothing to me. Except that there are some poor people somewhere who need some firewood, need some kindling, need something that's already been dried out in a kiln. That's what it means to me. It's been stolen by Satan away from the poor to deceive everybody. I'd love to do that. Oh.
Man, what a dream.
I can daydream, can't I?
Oh, man.
That cost a thing.
No. But just to dream, for a situation for it to be right in. Yeah. Not just to show off what I know or out of anger for something, but just for God's people to see that there's nothing to it.
That's right.
By permission only.
Yes.
For the good of it, that it may go well with his people.
Same reason Moses ground up the golden
calf. Right. To see there was nothing to it. You could drink it. You can burn it in the fireplace. Be all right. Amen. Well, maybe. Maybe the next generation. Elijah, learn to use a chainsaw. There may come a day. Be like Phinehas when he got through with his bloody work. God said, good boy. Good boy. Just what I wanted. Amen. Think I'll bless your sons and your sons' sons and their sons throughout all generations.
Amen.
Phew. Praise God. Just as there are some sins in the Bible that were so evil and did so much harm that God mentions them for centuries, there are some acts of righteousness that he's still talking about. Still reminding you of. Every once in a while, the Holy Ghost gives you a picture in your brain of a little shepherd boy out there with a sling.
That's right.
He's still talking about it. God was excited that day.
Yes.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
There are some things you can do that are good that God will talk about for a long time. Amen. There's a hall of fame in heaven.
Yes.
And there's a hall of shame in heaven. Which one you want to be in?
Three Hebrew children is another.
Oh, yeah, still talking about it.
Yes.
You see their faith they have in me?
Yeah.
I'm going to have it written down. Amen. People are going to be talking about that for thousands of years. It's there. It's in God's book. Praise God. Amen. I think us coming out of Christianity is worth going in a book somewhere.
Amen. Amen. It's been written down.
I do too.
Mm. Amen. Isn't it good, Darren? Kinda. Don't get too excited over that. Oh, I know you're loving it. Whew, boy. Man. Mark, you getting anything out of this? Yeah, I know it. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. What do you think, Amy?
Every time you get ready to read something or stop reading, I can't do anything but giggle.
Amen.
Because it just bubbles up because it's so good.
I was watching Darren over there last night. He's going, I check back 5 minutes later. And I said, boy, he likes the taste of this stuff.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Whew. Glory to God. I love it. Yeah, just go at it. Woo! Praise God. You know, every few minutes we can call a dance break. But the Holy Ghost does it for us. Amen. You know, they're just so good. Every once in a while, Jesus says, dance break. Amen. 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 No, 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 no. Amen. Woo. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Woo. No, 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 no. Yeah. That's real breakdancing, Amy said. That's right. Amen. What? Amen. Amen. There are some times when God is just dealing with you so sweet. If the president were to call you, I'll call you back. I'll get back with you. Amen. I'm talking to the king. Yeah. Amen. Don't quench the spirit to talk to the president. Amen. Who's in charge? Amen. You're the head. The flesh will take it the wrong way and get puffed up, but the reality of it is, it's an honor for the president to talk to you.
That's right.
Don't take that the wrong way. It's not pride.
No, right.
It's an earthling talking to a heavenly being.
Right.
That's the reality. Your citizenship is in heaven.
That's
right. Amen.
It lets you know that.
Yes. Amen. A new creature. A partaker of the divine nature of God. It's all right.
We just want to talk about it. We just want to keep talking about it. We just don't want to talk about it.
Amen. 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 You don't know my seat. Oh, me. Whew, amen. What chapter are we in?
Seven.
Seven?
Chapter seven. Verse six.
Thanks, Glenn. I'm thankful you hadn't gotten so much out of this you lose your place. Yet. All right. Okay. Verse 6, according to Glenn. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Amen. This break. From break yet, we'll just wait a minute. Amen. one sure is. I read ahead. Somebody else want to read? Ah.